I'm Adam Pendlebury.
I'm Barry Worthington.
I'm Charlie Keegan.
I'm Paul Thorpe.
And this is the Progress with Unity podcast. I'll say this very quickly. Cambridge United 3, Wigan Athletic 1.
You said that then, Barry, like it doesn't matter.
Well, it does it matter.
That said, I still think it's nice to enjoy matches. And I can't really say that I've enjoyed the last few matches, but there are mitigating circumstances, clearly. Best attacking player this season hasn't played in the last three games. We've had a few niggly injuries, so we've not been able to get that continuity to the side. I don't think Sean Maloney is throwing the games like some people think, or he's just picking them out of a hat. I think it's just circumstances that have dictated what he had to do.
You know, we've said it and we say it again, the job's done. And you're absolutely right. It is nice to enjoy games, but it's also nice to acknowledge that the job's done. And maybe where things are not going swimmingly, you know, we're not winning 4-0 every week. You kind of go, okay, fair enough. It's not the best. But it'll do, given that you've got the job done of staying in the league and reducing the wage bill and coping with the minus eight and blooding a load of youngsters ready to have a real crack at it next season. You're right, people do deserve to enjoy games, but blimey, get your reaction tempered when we don't win.
I'm hoping that we can see some more consistency in the starting lineup next season, but I think we all expected at this point there'd be a bit more experimentation, and that's pretty much what we got, because the starting lineup against Cambridge, we had six players in the first professional season. I think we had an average age of 23. It's only Josh McGuinness and Jason Kerr really that were over 23 in that squad, so it was a heavily inexperienced side. Cambridge have the experience, but they also have bloody good players in that squad who just aren't performing as good as they should be. So the game was frustrating, but I thought we started very bright, and there were spells in the game where we did look good, but it's just, again, we weren't a consistent side. We haven't got the players and the consistent lineup to be able to put in a good performance.
I might be wrong here, but I suspect that he made eight changes to make a point, because we played Burton on Good Friday and we clearly weren't for the fight. We've been saying for a few weeks now, we're on the beach, and I think it demonstrated that on Good Friday. So for me, I thought Sean Maloney tried to make a point, but I think it backfired on him. Too many changes. There was a lot of disjointedness in that team. And I think the fact that quite a few of them players haven't played together regularly recently, it showed. I agree as well, there was nice patterns of play, and I think when Matt Smith came on it in the second half, it did change around a little bit as well.
What happened to Johnny Smith?
Injured.
That's three of our wide players injured. And you have to say that Johnny Smith and McManaman as impact substitutes have probably been the best this season, attacking-wise. And Jordan Jones as a starter has probably been the best this season, attacking-wise. I mean, I think he's close amongst a couple of our young players, of our experienced players. I'd say Jordan Jones for me, and we're going to talk about it over the next few weeks, but Jordan Jones for me has been our best player this season, definitely going forward. Outfield player, I'd say, that might hint about who the player of the season would be, but Jordan Jones, I mean, every time you give him the ball, he does something. That left-hand side the other day didn't really have that to it.
Yeah, I think just going back on your point, Barry, about disjointedness, we've played a lot of the season with Jordan Jones on our left side, and you can see that Charlie Hughes knows where he is and plays that long ball. And I would say that is a huge outlet for us. And when we played against Burton, he didn't have Jordan Jones, he had Johnny Smith, and there wasn't that connection there. So he was having to put the ball through, try and get Kelman or Scott Smith in behind, and that worked. But Cambridge play a lot tighter and narrower than Burton did, so that option wasn't really there. And he didn't have Johnny Smith or Jordan Jones. He had Chris Z. So again, it's like, it was hard for Charlie Hughes. I think he actually attempted the most long balls of the season so far, and he just couldn't complete them. And I think as well, was it 5 minutes in, he tried to stand on the ball, which he needs to knock because that is a terrible habit, but he stood on it and he fell over, and all of a sudden we nearly had a breakaway. So there's a lot that we can take from that as not what not to do. And I think putting your foot on the ball definitely is one of them, but it was just disjointed from start to finish, pretty much.
When you say, Charlie, we could take from that what not to do. That's called gaining experience as a young kid. You know, I've said it already, it puts us in a great position for next season. This season is now all about the friendlies and the experience. Next season's when it counts again. You know, August, off we trot.
Talking about centre, how old is your guy, Charlie Hughes?
He's 20,
right? So I'm trying to think of, across the leagues over the last few years, how many centre-backs really would you say were perfect at the age 20, 21? I mean, they always used to say Rio Ferdinand, who's probably, in terms of ball-carrying centre-back, cultured, has probably been the best English centre-back for the last 20 years. And they always used to say when he started off, you know, he was liable to make mistakes, maybe believe his own hype a bit too much, you know, do a bit too much. So I think it's the nature of centre-back. Strikers are a bit different, aren't they? They can come through young and it's try things. As a striker, you've got try things. If they don't come off, it doesn't really matter. Whereas Charlie Hughes is learning by making the odd mistake, but he's not made many mistakes over the season. I think he just needs to get back to basics with some parts of his game. But again, I mean, some of the times how he just goes past players because he reads it. I mean, if that improves and his general defending improves, then, you know, for me, he's going to go right to the top.
I'll tell you what he needs to do, Adam. Needs to stay with us for another two seasons. That's what he needs to do. That's where he'll learn.
I agree.
He will stay for two seasons if we get promoted next season. I don't think he'll be a League One player if the 2025 season starts in League One. He'd need to be a Championship player then to see his career progress. I don't think he'd be a League One player. Next season's a big season for us because we're not going to keep all those players. There'll be a lot. We'll talk about that more in weeks to come, obviously. But
thank you.
I think there's going to be a lot of squad changes over the next few months. And I think Charlie Hughes should, for me, be the leader of the new squad.
Talking to Charlie Hughes, it's on the agenda, but we'll jump it in here. Now, how do we feel about this? Nominated for League One Young Player of the Season. Now, I'd throw at least one more player into the hat in our ranks, Sam Tittle. For me, there should be two players from Wigan Athletic nominated.
You say Sam Tittle, Babaradiko, Scotty Smith as two of our own homegrown ones, plus the others we've got along.
I think for me, out of the two of them, I would have thought Sam Tittle would probably have got in there just because it is his first professional season. And Charlie Hughes had a little bit of the advantage with playing Championship games, obviously alongside Jack Watmore. So he comes in a little more experienced than Sam Tittle, but you can't take away from what Hughes has done. He's been absolutely sensational, and you can see now not only are other fans of League One teams talking about him, Championship teams are talking about him, Premier League teams are talking about him, so he's gaining a lot of attention. But I also agree that a couple of more seasons at Wigan wouldn't go amiss, because as a centre-back you enter your prime later on in your 20s, so, and he's only 20 years old.
I'll tell you what, talking about the players here being on the beach, I mean, we're reviewing the Cambridge game. I think we've only spent 20 seconds talking about Cambridge game and the rest of the season. So it shows how important it is to us. It doesn't matter, does it? I know Adam talks about going to football to enjoy it. I'm loving it. I'm loving this season because there's no pressure on for once. All right, I want to go next season. I want a bit of pressure on us. I want a bit of pressure because we're chasing either the playoffs or automatic promotion. But this season, I just wanted a stress-free season, and it's exactly what. The only thing that's stressing me out this year is people on social media saying all sorts of nonsense and rubbish about what's going on. That's the only thing that's stressing me out.
Made me dip my toes in those waters again, which I've not done for a while. It's bonkers.
I think this season, actually, there's been some fantastic games. I've really enjoyed a lot of the games this season. You know, a good intensity in them. Even the games we've lost, the Portsmouth game was a cracking game. I just think these last three or four games for me, we've dropped off, and it's understandable. But I can't say I'm looking forward to going to these remaining games as much as I was the game sort of five, six matches ago when there was something on them, because it gives you a bit of edge. I think it's really getting used to the fact that it's very rare that Wigan don't have anything to play for at the end of the season. I mean, the last big one I remember was probably the season when Steve Bruce, you know, we were looking like a top six side, weren't we, at one point, and then we sold our players in January and we just tailed off, finished about 11th, 12th. We've had a couple of seasons where we've been safe with about three games to go, but, you know, that's not the same, is it, as this season, where probably our last eight games really nothing on them. So the only game I'm really looking forward to at the moment is Lincoln, because I just want to see how we're going to get on there, you know, against the form team.
We're going to win, you know that. Getting back to what we're here reviewing and reacting to, the Cambridge game. The team: Tittle, Scott Smith, Hughes, Kerr, Sessegnon, Adeeko, Shaw, Chambers, Chris C, Josh Beginner. The substitutions: Umpson, Kelman for Scott Smith and Sessa at half-time. Tello and Matt Smith came on for Adeeko and Shaw on 54 minutes, and Good came on for Kerr on 83. The starts: 34% possession for Cambridge, 66 for the Latics. Cambridge had 8 attempts with 3 on target, scored 3 goals. We had 12 attempts with 3 on target. Corners: Cambridge no corners, Latics 4. Fouls: Cambridge committed 10, the Latics 14. They picked up 1 yellow card, we picked up 2. Scott Smith is turning into the new Sam Morsy, picking one up every game. And Liam Shaw, the goal, Marshall Godot, 65 minutes in. I mentioned Matt Smith came on at half time. What a pass. What a pass that was to Marshall Godot.
Yeah, I loved the pass. And I will say it because I even put it on Twitter. So I'm not just saying it now. But I said during the game, this is a perfect game for Matt Smith to unlock this Cambridge defense. Because, like I said before, they were quite compact, quite narrow. So they were very hard to break down. We had a lot of success down the left, barely anything down the right. And it needed Matt Smith, somebody in the midfield, to just dink the ball over the top and just release somebody. And when he came on and did that for Godot, I thought, okay, we can go again now. But the one thing you don't do is cup your ears and celebrate to the home fans when you've just pulled a goal back and you've not equalized, because that came back to bite us a little bit. But great goal, great pass. I think Matt Smith definitely had a huge impact. So it was good to see that he not only got his first assist in a while, but Godot got his first goal since November 7th, which was the Peterborough game. So it was good to see him get on the score sheet.
I tell you what though, Charlie, I loved that. Yeah, I know you said you don't do it, but it's got that devilment about it, hasn't it, where he's winding the opposition supporters up. And it's good to see. I think it was, you know, he did it against Bolton, didn't he, when he ran across the front there where the Bolton fans were. It's brilliant. I love it. It shows he cares. The only problem I thought on Saturday, he cared too much because he won't pass ball, would he? He wanted to do it all himself. Had me scored on 11 minutes, which I thought was a well-taken goal. Nicked in front of Charlie Hughes, put it home. He scored again on 57 minutes, this time going in front of Charlie Hughes with a header, headed that home. And then the free kick from Andrew, very reminiscent of one he put in for Fleetwood against us a couple of years back. But the penalty, now I wasn't 100% sure it was a penalty. Was it a penalty, was it not? But it doesn't matter, it was awarded. The referee, Mr. Anthony Backhouse, even though it was reported it was Simon Mather, it wasn't. It was Anthony Backhouse, as Paul said last week on here, he was going to be the referee, and he was. But Josh McGinnis stepped up. The goalkeeper went the right way, but he saved it. And then what happened then? Oh, my goodness.
Absolute shocker. It was the penalty wasn't great in itself. I don't know if he kicked the floor or what on the way up, but that's not what you want your captain to step up and do. You want him to just smash that home. But then the rebound, for me, that was Chrissy. He should have been the one that had the shot, but Chambers wanted to get to the end of it and they ended up taking each other out. I think both got injured in the aftermath, and you even saw Tello Asgard run on, and I think he yelled at them both. He was like, communicate between the two of you. But for me, that was Chrissy's, and it was unfortunate because I thought Chrissy and Chambers actually had a pretty good link up all game. And when you want them to have a bit more about them in that moment, they just didn't have it. But very unlucky on the follow-up. But yeah, the penalty was terrible.
3-1 against Cambridge. The season we went up as champions, they beat us on our own patch. So we've had difficult games against them over the last couple of times that we've met. The man of the match, as voted for by our listeners on both Facebook and Twitter, mentioned him there. The goal scorer, the electric man in the second half, number 17, Marshall Godot. So congratulations to Marshall on that. Right then, talking of man of the match, something we mentioned last week, Progress with Unisette, player of the season. It is now open and available for people to vote. And if you want to vote, send an email to PWUPOTS, that's PWUPOTS, at gmail.com. Put 2024 in the subject area and your nomination. And we mentioned a few on Sunday, and I've got a list here of all of our Man of the Match winners from down the season. We've had 19 different Man of the Match winners this season. There's a few players won it several times. Scotty Smith has won it more than any other. And I think it's quite interesting when looking at the list who actually has. And it gives some people sometimes a bit of an idea who to vote for. I know Adams mentioned who he has felt is our best outfield player, strongly hinting at who he's going to vote for in this. I said last Sunday who I thought was player of the season. I'm going to stick with Jordan Jones. In fact, I've cast my vote, and that is my vote, Jordan Jones. But look at these. I'll just read them out really quickly and then pick one or two out if you wouldn't mind and just have a talk about them. Sam Tittle, Liam Morrison, Charlie Hughes, Barbara Dico, Matt Smith, Callum Lang, who's gone, so you're not voting for him, Stevie Humphries, Liam Shaw, Marshall Godot, Scott Smith, Stephen Sessignon, Callum McManaman, Sean Clure, Jordan Jones, Johnny Smith, Luke Chambers, Jason Kerr, Josh McGinnis, Charlie Kelman, Tello Asgard. What a variety, though. What a variety of players.
Asgard, you've got to say, this is his best season as a Wigan player. I think he started well, then he got that injury, rocked him a bit, came back. And I think pretty much up to this week, he was the first choice starter, you know, one of the first names on the team sheet. So he's come of age. I've already made my feelings known about Jordan John. Scott Smith, some of the fans might have a bit of recency bias towards him because I think he's certainly been our player of the second half of the season. It wasn't his fault in the first half of the season because he obviously had injury problems, but he's another who's come of age. And yeah, I mean, it's hard this season because a lot of players have done really well given where they came from at the start of the season. So it's very hard to pick an outstanding player out. It's always interesting to hear different people's opinions on it.
The most pleasing thing is that the people at the front running are the young lads that belong to the club. We're looking at Sam Tickle, Charlie Hughes. All right, John Johnson isn't young, but they're all club assets. It's not the guys on loan. You know, not like when Reece James ran away with it. And that's a great sign for next season.
Yeah, I said at the start of the season, I just wanted the young academy players to all have their moments. Just every young player will have a moment where once they're 4 or 5 years into the career, you can look back and say, they did that then, and you can see that there was something in them. And the ball, I think every single one of our young academy players this season has stepped up and had their moment. So whether that's in a man of the match performance, in a goal like Scotty Smith's, or the 13 clean sheets that Sam Tickle's got, I think they've all had it and they're all worthy of being on the list of man of the matches and obviously all up for player of the season.
Mm. Like we mentioned, the email address is now available for you to cash your vote into. Moving on to Saturday, got Port Vale in town. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I hope we're not 20 past them and relegate them. And that's as much as I'm going to say. And I'm just going to pass straight over to Charlie. I'm saying no more because I'll get annoyed.
I've done my digging on Port Vale, nicknamed the Valiants from Vale Park, and obviously they're at the DW. But they're on their second manager this season. Darren Moore has took over them since February 13th, 2024. And it was Andy Crosby who started the season with them. He actually had a full pre-season after they got rid of Daryl Clark, who ended up actually getting them promoted from League Two when they won the playoffs against his hometown at Mansfield. They won in 3-0, and that was back in 2021-22 season. So this is only the second year in League One, and they struggled last year. I think they actually finished 18th, and then this year they're languishing down in 21st, and they're really, really struggling. Burton are one place above them, but have a game in hand. And Cheltenham are below them and they've got a game in hand. So it's a little frustrating for them. Overall, they've got 10 wins, 9 draws, 21 losses, scored 38, which is the fifth lowest in the league, and they've conceded 63, which is the third most in the league. So Port Vale need a few wins to be able to try and keep safe in the league. But over the last five results, they've had a 2-0 loss away at Northampton Town, a 2-0 win against Bristol Rovers at Vale Park, a 1-0 loss away at Burton Albion, a 2-0 loss away at Oxford United, and a 0-0 with Leighton Orient at Orient's ground. And the top attacking performers who I've picked out, you've got Ethan Chislett, who they got on a permanent from AFC Wimbledon. He's got 7 goals and 7 assists, but he's only got 1 goal in his last 15 games, which is a penalty against Fleetwood. And the hat-trick against us last time was his first goal in quite a while. Next up, I've got Ben Garrity, who got on a permanent from Blackpool. He's got 9 goals and 2 assists. And then James Wilson, who got 4 goals, but he's barely scored this season, really, and since the turn of the year. So he's been struggling. But outside of Chislett and Garrity, who are both into double figures for goals and assists, they haven't really got anybody there. Like James Wilson, 4 goals, and that's it. No assists for him. So, yeah, it's a very difficult season for Port Vale. But Darren Moore's got some job on his hands to try and keep them up. And it's interesting as well, because they're going up against Cheltenham, who's got Daryl Clark, and he's the one who got Port Vale promoted, so it's going to be interesting because I think only one of them will stay up.
Right, we'll have a ref watch for when they visit the DW. The referee will be a London-based official called Paul Howard, and he is a nationalist referee and has been since the 2021 season. He's refereed the Latics on 3 occasions in the past, and we have yet to win with him in charge. First 2 games came during the admin season, a 1-1 draw away at Wimbledon and a 2-1 home defeat to Oxford. The third of the 3 games where he's refereed us was the season after, in January 2022, where Paul Howard was in charge of the goalless draw away at Cheltenham. Card watch, Paul Howard's refereed 33 games this season. He's issued 120 yellows, 4 reds and 2 penalties. And that's Paul Howard, who will referee the visit of Port Vale to the DW Stadium on Saturday.
Previously, we played 34, won 13, drawn 7 and lost 14. We lost at Vale Park in the reverse fixture 3-2, the worst first half of the season. Great comeback, and then we can see the third goal. Our last meeting in the league at the DW Stadium was in that infamous season where we were brilliant from November onwards. We beat them 3-0. And if you recall, it was a Will Grigg hat-trick, and in that game there was also an assist from Yannick Woolshut. And if you look at the stats from about November to the end of the season, that was a common thread. I did have a quick look at this as well, and I didn't realise that Rob Page was the manager. Now, the Welsh manager was the manager of Port Vale on that day. Now, I don't think I can do justice to this in our debut season. Barry probably was there, so he might be able to talk a bit more about the comeback at Springfield Park when Latics trailed 0-3 at half time, and I bet quite a few of our mourners had already left, Barry.
I weren't there. I used to play back in the day. I was playing, but I always used to listen out for the score at the Latics. Well, that's how I used to play. I didn't play for anybody in particular. I just played for Wigan Rovers. I can remember coming off at half time, going into the clubhouse for a cup of tea and a rollicking off our manager. And I said, "Is Latics going on? They're losing 3-0. And I thought that were it. And Peter Orton had different ideas. Apparently a superb hat trick, and I come off at full time expecting Latics, like the Rovers, to have lost that day, but they hadn't. They pulled it back and they won 5-3. It goes down in the annals of a great day in Latics history. But unfortunately, or fortunately, I was playing myself that day, so I missed it. Right, let's get into some predictions. You know, I've mentioned before that I was a little bit disappointed in Port Vale, and I hope we give them a good tonking. And I really mean that. So I'm going for 4-1 Latics win, and they better do it. Otherwise, I'll be on the message boards screaming abuse.
Well, I want Port Vale to get relegated, not just because they let Barry down with fans for the insert piece, in case anybody's wondering why he's been mad all night, but because I want to see Cheltenham escape relegation after the horrendous start, because I think it'd be a wonderful achievement. So, on those grounds, I'm going to go with the same 4-1, because I think we've played on the beach. At some point, that turns into relaxing, carefree football, and it's going to be Saturday, and we're going to win 4-1.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see Gavin Massey, Jenson Weir, and Funso Ojo back at the DW. I'm looking forward to seeing them back, but I'm also looking forward to seeing Latics stuff Port Vale and get back to winning ways. So, I think a 3-1, I'm going to say.
Yep, I think we'll be, I reckon we'll go 3-0 down at half time, but we'll come back and win 5-3.
If you've nothing to do on Friday night before this game against Port Vale, why not nip down to Whelan's Bar for a little bit of excitement? Because it's our race night, and I told you I'd plug it again this week. This is the last chance I've got to plug it. We've got a big fundraiser for the Wigan Athletic Community Trust. It's all going ahead on Friday evening. It's going to be a great night. There's loads of people coming down. Just come and join in. It's free to get in. There's special deals on with the food. You can get yourself a pizza and chips, which, I'll be honest with you, is enough for two people for £8. £8. So you'll have a really good night.
Quickly, why on charity? Thanks for everybody's support with Wear the Hat for brain tumour research. Fantastic, and they appreciate it.
So until Sunday, when we'll be back giving our reaction to the Port Vale game, we can head to Charlton. It's up the six. Come on, up the race night.
Up the beach.
Come on,
up Sean Maloney's six. Ticks.